In Scripture, the idea of exile is a key theme. It is a central theme. It was heard in our readings this morning from Psalm 39 and from 1 Peter. The idea of exile is the idea of a sojourner. You have to leave what is comfortable. You are away from home. And so that what is known but is now replaced by what is unknown. That what is familiar is replaced by what is unfamiliar. A new circumstance. That what is comfortable now becomes uncomfortable, painful. I can barely remember it, but I still can remember having growing pains. That's what they called it. You ever have those when you were young? I remember my legs would hurt. And my mother would say, "Those are growing pains." I don't know what that meant. But growing can be painful, can it? In Scripture, the idea of exile is also spoken of in terms of being a sojourner. You're away from home. Or one translation in 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2, it translates it aliens. You're an outsider. So that things are not comfortable, that things are not familiar to you anymore. There's also this idea of travel. That you leave what is familiar and what's known to you, and you go out into the wilderness, you go out into the deserted area. That's what desert means. It's deserted. There are not too many folks there, especially folks that you know. But what the Bible will say consistently when it uses this language of exile and sojourner and alien and stranger, when it uses that vocabulary, the idea there is of preparation. That God takes you and prepares you, and sort of like what we mean when we talk about going on a retreat. But a retreat, you don't go on a retreat just to go on a retreat, just to take the trip. It is a place of preparation. Exile is a time of preparation and making you better. Better prepared. More willing. More able. I never had thought about the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3 being exile until I was reading after someone a few years ago, and they talked about this idea of exile being a key theme in the Bible. And they said, well, you know, the first exile is in Genesis 3. It's Adam and Eve who have sinned and who no longer can live in the presence of God and in the presence of the tree of life. Death enters into the world, and they began an exile that continues to this very day. All of humanity is in a kind of exile, away from God, but God's preparing us. The call of Abraham is a call to exile. Have you ever thought about it from that standpoint? Where does Abraham begin? Ur of the Chaldees, what today's Babylon. Iraq. He begins in Ur, but he's called to go to a place that is unknown to him, that's not familiar to him. Why? Because God is preparing him for something. And it's not easy. And it's painful. But he does it, and he leaves all that he knows, and he leaves family. The call of Abraham is a kind of exile. Israel's rescue from Egypt is followed by a kind of exile, a kind of wilderness time of preparation, 40 years wandering in the wilderness. What's God doing during this quote-unquote exile before they go into the land of promise? He's preparing them. And it's not easy. And it's not comfortable. And they fail a lot of times. And God keeps showing grace to them. And then there's this idea of exile later when Israel has failed and failed and failed and failed to the point that God says we're going to have to do some retraining here. And so God takes Israel 800 miles to the east to Babylon. I think there's an interesting irony there that Abraham begins there and now Israel goes there to be retrained. And they are in exile. And God is preparing them for something. God is getting them ready for something. And they return from Babylon. There are five books of the Bible that talk about this return from exile. The last three books of the Old Testament are three of those five. The other two are Ezra and Nehemiah. And so you've got Ezra and Nehemiah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. The last three books of the Old Testament are about the return from the exile. But the thing that's striking when you read those five books is that they never really are at home, even though they go home. They remain strangers even in the land of promise when they return from exile because things are still not quite right. Things don't seem quite as they ought to be. Where is the Davidic king? Where is a king that will lead us in the line of David? We don't have one. And there are always these foreign countries who are dominating them even when they return back from exile. When will exile end? That's really how the Old Testament ends. And that is, we're still, in a sense, we're still in exile. Even though we've returned to Judea, to Palestine, we're still in exile. Things are still not right. Things are not comfortable. Is God preparing us for something? And John the Baptist does some wilderness training, doesn't he? And people are coming out to the deserted areas. They're populating the deserted areas where John is at, the wilderness. And what's John doing? It's a time of preparation. He's preparing people. And then there's the coming of Jesus. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus, in his ministry on earth, was an exile? By merit of his very birth as a human being, he is an exile from heaven. And it was not really very comfortable, was it? And it was not easy, but it was a place of preparation. Exile that began in Genesis 3 will not come to a close until Jesus comes again. There's a sense in which we are always, as the people of God, we are always exiles and strangers and aliens. I want to point you to something in 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are the chosen, the elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, and Cappadocia, and Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for the sprinkling of His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. You who in Christ, because of your baptism, you've become aliens and strangers exiles in your world. The world has changed for you because of your baptism. That reading that John led us in a moment ago, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, which I would suggest to you is the pivotal two verses of all of 1 Peter. Everything in the book revolves around what he says in verses 11 and 12 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Beloved, I urge you, I appeal to you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak to you, against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. One of the reasons I've thought a lot about exiles, especially in the last few years, and in particular in this last year, is that it seems to me that in the life of our congregation, in the history of our congregation, we have gone through a period of exile. A period of time in which we've had to go through some discomfort. I don't know about you, it's not very comfortable to me to see them knock buildings down. But maybe it's good for me to see that. And it's caused me to think a lot about God at work among us, and God's willingness to put us through a time that's not too comfortable. That's not very easy. That kind of shakes us up. Sometimes getting shaken a little bit wakes you up. And I wonder if what God is doing is causing us to stop and think, to renew our faith, our trust in Him, and not in ourselves, not in our building. Maybe God's calling us to make some adjustments in our traditions and in our habits. We all have habits, don't we? Some of you sit in the same seat every week. Last Wednesday, we talked about this opportunity, possibly of merging with the Main Street Church of Christ. They would come and join us here. I don't know about you, that might shake us up a little bit, in a good kind of way. You might have to start sitting in somewhere, some other pew. We may have to rethink some of our traditions, how we do things we both agree we should do. They have traditions, we have traditions. They have habits, we have habits. How do you blend those? Well, maybe exiles can do that. With God's help, we can walk through this time of exile, can't we? And I want to encourage you in something, and that is to pray to God that He would help us to see where He's taking us and help us to be willing to grow and to become better, as individuals and to become better as a congregation. I want to urge you to pray that God will give us strength, endurance. Pray that God will give us wisdom. Pray that God will give us discernment and clarity Because as aliens and strangers and exiles, we need that for our journey, don't we? God will help us to have a sense of others. That God will help us to remember to ask the question, not what do I like, what is comfortable for me, what is easy for me, but what is best for this other person? That's what exiles do, isn't it? I'm not just concerned about my wagon because we're in a wagon train. One of my favorite shows when I was a little boy was, I think it was Ward Bond that was the head guy on the wagon. You ever watch that wagon train show? You can still watch it on some of the channels that come over that. Have you ever watched Off the Antenna? There's some of these networks now, and all they have is those old TV shows. And every once in a while, you can catch Wagon Train. And the idea of wagon train is you're not much if you just got one wagon. And if all the wagon trains are going to make it, you're going to have to stop and help each other. When the wheel comes off of one of the wagons, all the wagons stop and everybody helps fix that wheel on that one wagon. Well, it's not my wagon. But you see, we're a group. We're on a journey together. One of the important things for exiles who are in the wilderness, who are being trained by the wilderness, one of the things we get trained in is to help each other and to live for others and not for ourselves. If you don't do that, the wagon train, none of the wagon train's going to make it. We've got to help each other. I forget the guy's name. I think his first name was Vern, and I can't remember. I can't ever remember his last name, but he wrote about Christianity. And in this book on Christianity, he said the problem with so much of Christianity today is that people look at the church as a commissary. You know what a commissary is? If you've been in the military, you know what a commissary is. That's where you go to get stuff for yourself. To get the stuff you need. And he said, so many people look at church as a commissary. And if I can't get what I want, what I think I need at this church, I'll go find one somewhere else. It's a commissary. He said, the Bible says, and he's basing this on this idea that we're aliens and we're strangers and we're making this journey together, that we should think of ourselves not as a commissary, but as a caravan. We're fellow travelers. And we need each other because in the moments when I'm weak and when I'm struggling, I need somebody else on the caravan that will help me get back up on the camel. So that we can all make it through. May God help us. May God bless us with discernment and wisdom as we consider this possibility. What has God been preparing us for in the last 10 years? I think maybe He's been preparing us for this very moment. When we can join together with our brothers and sisters from Main Street. I wonder that. Now, maybe it won't happen. But I think you have to at least entertain the idea. Has God been preparing us for the last decade? For this very moment, for such an hour as this. And you know what's interesting? Is then you start thinking, and what does God have in mind for us after that? Who knows what God may do what God can do, even with a bunch of gray and gone people who will submit themselves to Him and help each other as aliens and strangers and exiles.